So I want to talk to us this morning on the topic of the duty of a Christian. The duty of a Christian. You know, I've preached some messages before. What's the purpose? Why did you get saved? And the number one and two answer is because I don't want to go to hell, but I want to go to heaven. Well, that's kind of obvious. You know, that's why I don't want to walk out in front of a car either, because I don't want to be killed and I don't want to be maimed. You know, it's kind of crazy. But we don't understand a lot of times the duty of a Christian, our role of a Christian. So I'm going to help us this morning, because one of the goals as a Christian church is we should be, and individuals, we should want people to get saved. We should want to expand the kingdom of heaven. And so so what is the duty of a Christian? What is that duty? So to be the primary factor for sinners to be converted to saints. That's your duty. It's not to go to heaven. You don't really, that's not your job to get you there. You get saved, and that's just a byproduct of you getting saved, okay? So it's not your duty to go to heaven. It's what is your duty? What is your role? And there's within your duty, within your your process, there's a thing called systems. I used to be in sales, and so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about sales and how that works, and we're going to lay it over on and have a spiritual application to it. So I was in sales for several years, and my duty was to sell product. That was my duty. That's what, you know, when I went into a business meeting, the first thing they asked was, how much did you sell? How much did you, that was the number one thing. How much did you sell? Your duty was to sell. But in selling, there's also this thing in anything you do called the system. The system. So what was the system? Well, in order for me to sell, I had to work the system. So I had to call on different people often to find out, did they need my product? And I'd take notes when I called them and what they had need of, and I'd kind of study them out. I'd go visit with them, and so I took notes. But that wasn't selling. That was part of the system to get to the duty to sell. And so I had to make contacts over and over, because eventually if you do that enough, the system will produce the duty. The system will produce, you call on people enough, they'll either buy from you or tell you, get out of the way. Don't come back. Most time they'll buy from you because they want you to shut up. But they'll buy from you. So I would get people to buy from me because that was my duty. My duty was to sell. They didn't really care how many I contacted unless I wasn't selling anything. Then they wonder, well, how many contacts? I didn't sell anything this week. Well, how many contacts? I had one. Well, I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't performing the duty, and I wasn't working the system. But when I began to work the system, it took a little while, and all of a sudden, there'd be times you said, well, I hadn't sold anything in a week, maybe 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden, because of the system you were working, the contacts you were making, all of a sudden, those things begin to come in. And man, it would start rolling then. And it seemed like once you start selling, it was easier to sell. Then one of the favorite things I loved to do in sales was cold calls. Most people say, I don't want to know. I want to know. I want to have an insight. How many of you, do you know somebody? You have a contact? I love to have a cold call. Because here, they didn't know me. They didn't know my product. They didn't. And if I sold, it was merely on my ability to sell. I like that. Mike, you need some salesmen like that, don't you? Amen? No, you got some good salesmen. But man, wouldn't that, your ability to sell a product. Man, it was so good, and I'd get worked up over that. I mean, that was wow. You know, Christians do a lot of, or should do a lot of cold calling. Come on, somebody, I'm gonna go somewhere with this. But you gotta work the system. You gotta know how to work and navigate in the system. And the system basically is you becoming saved. It's hard to convince somebody to be saved when you ain't saved. Come on, somebody. It's hard to convince somebody that they need to be like you when you ain't like who you need to be like.
It's hard to convince somebody to read their Bible when you ain't reading your Bible. It's hard to convince somebody you need to go to church when you ain't going to church. Come on, somebody. These are duties. We're going to talk about the duty of a Christian. Now, going to church and reading your Bible and all that, that's the system. That's what supports the duty. Because if you do away with those things, you're not going to perform the duty of a Christian. The duty of a Christian is to help or to, let's just read it again, to be the primary factor for sinners to be converted to Christ. That's your duty. That's what you should do. You should be winning souls. That's what you should do. But you cannot do it without a system in place, reading your Bible, a church attendance, encouragement, all the things that we should do. You cannot, you will not perform the duty of a Christian without a system. It's impossible. Oh, you say, well, I can do that. No, you can't. Oh, you may draw a big crowd. Bobby and I had a conversation one time. He had a good friend high up in the Assemblies of God, and Brother Charles Hackett. He said, you can build a church without God. You can have a building and have a crowd and have an attendance. Call it church. You can call it whatever you want to. You can build it on good talent, energy, and excitement. You can build, do all that. But is it really the duty of a Christian? Amen. So watch this. Do you know that if you win souls, you actually earn the right to boast in front of God? We're not supposed to boast. I didn't say you would boast. I said you earned the right to. Watch what Scripture says. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19, it says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? He said, is it not you? He's talking about to the church at Thessalonica. And Paul is saying, is it not you? We're to boast that we helped you, our duty as a Christian, we helped you become Christians. And we can boast in the Lord about that. Watch this, it goes on to say this. For you are our glory and joy. You ought to be able to go to the Lord and say, man, guess what I did, Lord? I led somebody to you. Now, you can't save anybody, okay? You don't have that power. Your job is to lead them to Christ. He does the saving all by himself, okay? But it's our job to be excited about and be joyful about leading somebody. And when we get before the Lord, they're with me. Some of you ain't never won nobody to the Lord. I can tell by looking on your faces. Didn't know you're supposed to get excited. There's no greater joy than winning somebody to the Lord, leading somebody to the Lord. I mean, it's an awesome privilege. And you can say, Lord, these are with me. Paul, if you read Paul's letters over and over, he makes statements very similar to this. Follow me as I follow Christ. And all of these things that he's talking about is leading people to Christ, is duty as a Christian. So in Matthew 4:19, the Bible says this. And he said to them, this is Jesus when he called two of the disciples. He said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. This is the duty of a Christian, is you are to win souls. In this analogy, Jesus talked in parables a lot of time because these guys were fishermen and they understood that. They understood how to catch fish. But he says, I'm going to teach you how to catch men. Not put them in prison, set them free. In the gospel, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what are you doing? What is your duty? Are you fulfilling your duty as a Christian? Don't answer out loud right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 says it this way. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. More of whom? Sinners, lost. That's what Paul is saying here. He says that I'm free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. How many of you believe what the Apostle Paul wrote in the Bible? He wrote a lot of the New Testament. And if he says we ought to win souls, that I might win souls, guess what? You probably ought to follow Paul's example. Verse 20 says, to the Jews I became a Jew as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those, there's that word again, that I might win those under the law. Now that's a, we could unpack that for about a week, but what he's really talking about, there was the old covenant, and you got to realize at this point in the New Testament, people are still hung out. You know how many people get, you get used to doing the same old thing, you don't want to change? He's dealing with the same folks. They're under a law, and they say, well, you got to do it this way and this way. And he said, wait a minute, I can be like that to you, but here's what you need to know. I'm going to win you for Christ, and here's a new way to be won to Christ. That's through the blood of Jesus, okay? So to unpack that just a little bit. Verse 21 says, to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. In other words, those that didn't care anything about it. Those that weren't trying to keep the law, they were just heathens. Okay, you know any heathens? Anybody know heathens? I got a few on my list, my friend list. Amen, come on somebody. And he said, he didn't go sinning. He didn't show up to bars and say, I'm gonna have a beer with you so I can get to know you. That's not what he's talking about if you're trying to get that angle. If you're trying to get that angle, you need the Jesus, okay? Come on somebody. He's not trying to be, he's just saying, look, to those outside of that, I can say, hey, that's not right either. To those under the law, that's not right either. There's a new way. There's a new covenant. How do you win people to the Lord? What's your duty? We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Verse 22 says, to the weak I became weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel that I may share with them in its blessings. In other words, he's saying, look, we should share this great thing with others so that this blessing to us can be a blessing to them. How many of you love a good deal? I mean, just you catch something on sale, ladies, and you call. Woo! Get on down to the mall. Get on, what is that, Timu? You wouldn't believe what they got on. You didn't get on, get you some. They got 9 left. They lying to you. They got 9 million left. They just want you to hurry them order. Get on there. You tell them, oh, I got this over here. And man, this is great. And this is the price. And it's so good. And you, why? Because you think it's a good deal. And you want them to share in the blessings. Right? And what is the duty of a Christian? To share in the blessings that the Lord has given you through salvation. Are you excited about letting somebody know the blessings of the Lord? As much as you are finding a good deal at the mall on a pair of slacks or a sport coat or a skirt or something. If you men are looking for skirts, we got a problem, okay? We'll talk to you about that. That's another message. But our job, our duty is to win souls. And Paul gives us this under the law, out of the law, when they're weak, when they're not weak. He's saying that nobody should be left out. That's really what he's trying to get upon. From one side of this thing to the other, nobody should be, well, they're not where they need to be. Well, yeah, they're a sinner. They're not where they need to be. Well, they just, you know, when they get a little better, when they come out of this moment in their life, well, they're never going to come out of that moment. Come on, somebody. They'll have another moment and another moment. It is, he's saying, look, no matter who they are, what they're going through, or where they're at in life, they need Jesus. And it's up to us. Our duty as a Christian is to share this blessing that God has given you. If you think it's so grand, you ought to be sharing it. Come on. If this thing is so grand to you, woo, man, I'm glad I'm saved. Well, how many people did you talk to about this great thing this past week? How many do you have in mind for this week? Lord, it got quiet in here. I prayed this morning, Lord, let the words come out. Let us receive the words and let us make application. If you hear this and do nothing with it, you're just hearers and not doers. We need to be doers of the word. Let me move on. Acts 20, 20, chapter 20, verse 20. How did I not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and Greeks of what? Repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? He's basically saying here, Luke is saying in this passage of scripture that he didn't shy back from declaring anything that was profitable. Speaking of the gospel, he said, I didn't shrink back from that. Man, I'm full force. You need Jesus. And he's saying, what is this about? What is he talking to people about? The repentance toward God. You need to repent. One of the duties of a Christian is you are to proclaim the gospel and say, you need to repent. Well, what if we offend them? Well, they're going to go to hell. Okay, so what? You're offended. What do we do now? What do you want? You want a little party? What do we do for you that you're offended? Somebody got offended. What do we do? Nothing. It means you got hurt feelings. Okay. I'd rather you go to heaven with a hurt feeling than you go to how to go to hell with no hurt feeling. Come on now. This is good common sense. So he says, I didn't shrink back. But my job is to talk to people about the repentance toward God. That's your duty. When you leave here today, you're going to say, well, I was kind of praying about what I needed to do. Well, let me tell you something. If you become a Christian, you don't have to pray about this, because this is a blanket for all Christians. Now, there may be some specific things within your Christian walk that you may ask the Lord about doing this, this, and this. But no matter what you do, no matter if you're the nursery keeper, the toilet keeper, the worship leader, the pastor, the person in the pew, your job is to proclaim Jesus Christ, to tell people that are not saved, you need to repent. That is your job, no matter what. That's not a prayer thing. When I got hired at the place where I was selling, I didn't have to pray about, do I need to go to work? You went to work to find out what we need to do from there, right? Kind of not like these government workers now. Don't want to show up. If they're getting a check, they ought to show up. Amen. Glory to God. I get off there. Matthew 28, 19 says this. Jesus gives a command to his disciples. Yeah, but that's his disciples. Are you a disciple of Christ? Applies to you. It's sad that in the church today, we have to distinguish what the word meant to them or these people or now. Does it mean now? Yes, it means now. Yes, it means now. It's for you. Matthew 28, 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here's something. Teaching them, watch this, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. What is he saying? When you go out, you're to win people and then disciple them. You're to go out, win someone, and then disciple them. What are we praying you for, preacher? To tell you that you need to go out and win people and disciple them. If we were, listen, I love to have fun in church. I think God's just up there laughing, saying, that bald-headed guy, he's just crazy. He don't know what he's doing. Just think about this. Let's just be real. Can we just use some really common sense? If every one of us in this room, just this week, just everyone went out and won one person to the Lord this year, we've done that this week, we didn't do any more. Do you understand we don't have enough seats right now? We don't have, even, we got empty, we don't have enough seats. If everyone in this room, I don't know how many you count down here, 107 here plus our kids, so just leave the kids out, 107 adults. Do you know that's 214? And then they bring little offspring. And they might bring husbands. Because see, if you win somebody, they may bring a wife. You see how the math works? It's really multiplication. So that's why I can tell you, we need to do better. Because there's empty seats. There's no building program. If they run a sale over at the mall at Belk on a certain thing and one lady gets a hold of it, you know, they're going to have what's the next holiday that's coming up? Anybody know? Memorial Day. They're going to run a Memorial Day sale. I guarantee it. Everything's got a Memorial Day sale. You can buy a mattress or a shirt. It don't matter. But there's a Memorial Day sale. You know what they're doing? They're gearing up to get extra stock for the Memorial Day sale because they know people's going to come in and buy something and you're going to go tell somebody. That's what they're banking on. Come on. They're not banking on one sale. They're banking on one person or two or three telling everybody that they got this sale going on. And man, look what I got. Right? That's how this thing works. Word of mouth. What's wrong with the church? Why do we not have things on sale? Jesus ain't even on sale. He's free. You just show up and say, Lord, I'm here. What do I need to do? And we'll talk you through Romans 10, 9 and 10, and you can get saved. Just free. Man, this is good stuff. The duty of a Christian is to win souls. Let's continue on. And make disciples. And I could preach there a while too. I'm just going to try to stick to the duty of a Christian. Because in that duty requires you to do more than lead somebody to Christ and pass them off to somebody. That may be your role too. But primarily it's to come along beside them for a while and get them introduced to the body. Come on. So they can get connected. So they can get good teachings on Sundays and Wednesdays, hopefully, from your preacher. Come on, somebody. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, how many of you in Christ? Amen. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Glory to God. We love that verse, man. I got saved. I'm a new creation. For what? For what? Let's be honest. When you got saved, you got home, you didn't look any different when you looked in the mirror. You didn't lose 3 pant sizes. Come on, somebody. Nothing really changed on the outside, but I'm a new creation. Where? On the inside. In the heart, in the soulless realm, the mind, where you think, will and emotions, those things that you respond to. Your spirit got saved. So I'm a new creation for what? Nobody can see it. Nothing changed. Right? Nothing changed. But you're a new creation according to the word of God. And it says this, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The new what? The soulless realm is beginning to change. The spirit is brand new. Watch this. All this from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. When you got saved, this new creation, you inherited a ministry called the ministry of reconciliation. That means putting things back together, reconciling things that are broken. And God created man not to be broken and apart from him, but because of sin that happened. And so now when you get saved, he says, well, I'm going to overcome this thing of this sin running rampant. When people get saved, I'm going to put on them, in them as a new creation, a ministry of reconciliation. How you doing? How are you doing reconciling lost humanity back to God who gave life? Come on, this is good stuff. Y'all looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. It's good stuff. So what are you a new creation for? Whew. Ministry of reconciliation. That That's what it's for. You're to be a ministry. Look, God picked you and put you on his team. Said, you're qualified to go out and reconcile people, lost people to me. What a privilege. What an honor. God picked you. You ever been when you was in school and you had to line up and you got picked and you were the last one? Come on, most of you in here are doing that because you're not raising your hands. Yeah. You were the last one picked because you were no good. Now, we don't want to say that now because that hurts their feelings. Everybody gets a trophy and a blue ribbon because you're all great. No, you stink at basketball. That's why you got picked last, man. Come on. You're no good at flag football. I'm sorry. You're just horrible. You can't catch. You can't run. I mean, come on, man. But Jesus picked you because he knew when you got saved, he says, I'm putting everything in you, that new creation, that old things passed away, and everything you need to excel, I'm putting in you for this ministry of reconciliation.
This just stuff just too easy.
Man. Verse 19 says, that is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. What did he entrust to you? The message of reconciliation. What is that? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know that this gospel has been put in your hands? And he says, I trust you with it. As a duty, as a Christian, God's saying, I trust you with it. I trust you with it. I trust you with it. I'm trusting you as a new creation to spread the gospel. Boy, it kind of takes that thing on. Well, if God would just draw them. Well, he may be waiting on you to get up and go there for her and talk to somebody, and then he'll do the drawing. Woo! Get y'all worked up this morning. Isn't this good, though, that God so entrusts you that he has made you so good that he picked you on the team, picked you first, and said, here, I got a job for you right now. Ministry of Reconciliation. Go spread the gospel. I'm entrusting you with it. It's like you're a running back. And the coach sends into play 3 seconds left on the 10-yard line. He says, give the ball to Leroy. Why? Because he knows Leroy is a good football runner. He can juke and jive when he needs to, jump high, run fast. Give the ball to him. He is entrusted. That coach has entrusted the whole game. You're down by one touchdown. Let's say this. You're down by 3 points, 3 seconds left. And the coach says, he's good enough. Give the ball to him. We can win the game. I believe in him so much, we can win the game. You know, that's what Christ does. He believes in you so much that he says, well, I'm going to give you the ball. I'm going to give you the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to give you the message of the gospel. I'm going to entrust you. Don't fumble it. I'm going to give it to you. And you run like you've never ran before. Come on, somebody. Most of you would have responded this way. There was an old joke one time about Leroy getting the ball, and somebody said, Leroy don't want the ball. We get saved, Lord, I don't know. Oh, I don't want to show up. I don't want it. No, I don't want the ball. I just was on the team so I could get the benefits of, you know, flying around the country. But I don't want to run the ball. I've been eating little Debbie's on the bus up here, man. Come on, I'm out of shape. I don't want the ball. I don't want to run. I just want to be on the team. I want the benefits. I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to do this other stuff. Don't entrust me, Lord. I'm not going to do a good job. Well, that's contrary to the word of God. If you got saved, he said everything that you used to be is gone. Old things have passed away. You are a new creation. You don't think the way you used to think. You don't react the way you used to react. You don't respond the way you get out and you say, oh, I'm good enough. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's what the Bible says. You got to know the Bible. That's the system. Come on. That's the systems you need to know so you can go do the duty of a Christian. You got to know what the Bible says about you. Man, I like this word, this next one, verse 20. Therefore, what's it there for? Well, I'm going to tell you. We are ambassadors for Christ. Mike Huckabee is basically an ambassador to Israel. You know what they do? They go and report things to the president or his cabinet or whoever's over there. And they go, Secretary of State or whatever, and they go and report and say, here's what's going on here. How do you want me to respond? Your job as an ambassador to Christ is say, because now God already knows. Lord, here's what's going on here. How do you want me to respond? And he gives a detailed answer for you how to respond. That's what an ambassador does. And you're going to spread the gospel. Woo! Deacons, we better get ready. We're going to have to build a building program. We're starting one next week. If you all get excited about winning souls, we'd have to have two services. On Sunday morning? Both? We got to come to both? That was your first question, some of you. We got to come to both. No. You got to come to one and get your honey out of the way so we can get the other people in. Glory to God. I heard a guy one time preaching. He was in California. And he said, and the man had this church. He was just packed out. And he said this. He said, look, it's time for you to leave. We got the other service is fixing to start. And he said, and look, don't you got to take your stuff with you. You've already heard it once. You got to leave. I thought, man, I'd never tell anybody that. Of course, you can't do that when you just got 100 people. You know, he had thousands, and people are so hungry for the gospel. He was saying, you got to leave to make room for the others. They were doing something right. They had the duty of a Christian down right. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah, I got to hurry. I thought, boy, I ain't going to be able to fill an hour, but I guess I will. That ain't really what ever been one of my downfalls, actually. So this next thing is, so when I was in sales, I always had a list of who would use my product. Who would use my product? You had to identify the end user. Come on, somebody. Are you right? Are you following me? So Mike, you have a group of salesmen, a bunch of salesmen under you, and they have to identify potential customers. Is that correct? That's the first thing you got to do is identify who you're going to sell it to. It don't matter if you got 9 lots full of stuff. If you don't know who they're going to, you don't know where to start. So you got to identify. That's part of the system. And so you identify who is this for. So Mike wouldn't send his guys over to Kroger to talk to the manager at Kroger in Greenville about buying a $500,000 tractor. Wrong business. He's in a grocery business. Now, if he owned a farm, that may be something else. But you're typically not going to talk to the manager at Kroger about buying a tractor. You're going to a farmer, come on somebody, that needs a tractor to produce crops to grow them to sell. That's who you're after. That's your target, right? Is this making any sense? You wouldn't go to someone who didn't need those services. I used to sell catfish all over the country. I didn't stop at pizza joints. McDonald's wasn't buying my product. They call it fish, but it ain't fish. We ain't sure what it is, but it ain't fish. So we identify. So now I want to say, you got to identify. As a Christian, who is your target? This part of your duty, this part of the system so you can fulfill your duty. Who is your target? Everybody. Who said lost? Lost. Do you know anybody lost? I'd like to see a show of hands. You know somebody that's lost, they're going to go to hell. Amen. You have a potential customer. Hey, it ain't going to cost them nothing. It's free. I told you that a while ago. So watch this. Who is the target? Who can be saved? Now watch this. Acts 2:21. If you were wondering who can be saved, are you saved? Are you saved? It's yes or no. It's like yes or no. So yes. So you say yes. Everybody say yes. Yes. If you didn't, you need to repent for lying and then come down. Yes. You were saved. People just like you can be saved. Oh, you're looking back through that list of stuff. You were saved. They can be saved. Watch this. Acts 2:21 says this. And it shall come to pass that everyone, how many?
Everyone.
Who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be
saved.
Turned away. No, saved. How are they going to call upon the Lord? I didn't have this in my notes, but how will they hear if we don't send the preacher or the teacher? Come on. Acts 16:30 says this. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is right when Paul was talking to when he was in jail. And, you know, the jail cells was opened at night, an earthquake and all that. And it freaked out the jailer because the power of God was used to get a hold of him through Paul and Silas. And he says, oh, what I need to be saved. They talked to him, if you read it. They were talking about getting saved. And he said, what I need to do to be saved. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. Who can be saved? Come on, I got a witness right here. Somebody got saved and everybody got saved. Kind of like a jailer, huh? Come on, somebody. Romans 1:16 says this. If I could have somebody come pin, honey, come on. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's a key part in your duty as a Christian, to not be ashamed of the gospel. That's the biggest hang up, if we were to be honest, that's the biggest hang up for most people about spreading the gospel. I'm a little ashamed. I just don't know how they're going to react. Okay. I don't know if I should. Well, if you don't know if you should, you hadn't been listening to the message today. It's your duty. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It sets you free. I'll tell you one day when you get in before the Lord, you're not going to be ashamed. You're going to go, woohoo, glory to God. If you're not ashamed of the gospel, you'll get to stand before God and say, God, look what you let me do. Look at all these people, Lord, this sea of people that I had an influence in some way that I led to Christ. He's going to say, that's a good job, son. That's a good job, daughter. You did good. You followed the word. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to some who believe. How many? If they're breathing and alive, they are a candidate. They are in line to receive salvation if they choose. They are a potential customer. Boy, this is just good stuff. We're gonna have a test next week. We're having a test next week on this message. It's really simple. It's a pass or fail. Win somebody to the Lord. Bring them to church. Oh, wait a minute now. We got to bring them to church? It says make a disciple out of them. Anyway, I'm just messing with you. You got all religious on me. 1 Timothy 2:3 says this. This is good. What? Well, we're fixing to read it. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. What is good and pleasing in the sight of our Savior? Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's good to God and it pleases Him that people come to Him. Don't you want to please God? Don't you want to make God happy about things? Yeah, you ought to. This is good to God. He said, this is good. He said, this cranks my tractor. somebody gets saved. He said, matter of fact, I tell you what, when somebody gets saved, I tell you what, I'm gonna make a mandate. I'm gonna make a decree in heaven. When somebody gets saved, all you angels, you just stop and start rejoicing. That's what the Bible says. Well, if they get excited about it, I mean, have they been excited about your performance lately? Have they been excited? Has heaven had to stop for you doing your job lately? Boy, that stings a little bit, doesn't it? Oh, nobody's got immunity. We're all guilty. Me at the front of the line. Come on, somebody. When's the last time heaven stopped? I said, Beverly, girl, you did a good job. Come on, angels, kick it up a notch. Or has it been a while? Romans 10, 9 and 10. Who can be saved? Who is your candidate? Who is your customer? Who's your potential person to spread the gospel to? Here it is. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. That person you're talking will be saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, will not be put away, but will be engrafted into the family of God. Man, this is too easy, church. I didn't like it anymore when I got it either. It should challenge you as a Christian. Now, I don't want you to send me an email or a text with the list of names of people that you have talked to this past week. I've talked to a lot of people, but not all of them have I talked to them about Jesus. There is a difference. Listen to me, because I love you. And I love them, and I don't know them yet. Inviting somebody to church is not spreading the gospel. That's inviting somebody to church. Spreading the gospel is something like this. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Yes or no answer? No. Well, would you like to? Because see, if you've been watching this, if you've been doing the system, practicing those things that you need to do, reading your Bible, studying, seeking God, meditating, attending church, and doing all those things you need to do, and you're in communication, in commune with God, guess what? When you get up in the morning, you say, Lord, who am I to cross paths with today? And when that path crosses, God's already set somebody up because he knows you're ready because he entrusted the gospel to you. He gave you a ministry of reconciliation, those that don't know him back to him. Come on, this is too simple, isn't it? So it's not inviting people to church. It is, do you know Jesus? Can I pick on you? Do you know Jesus? Answer, say no. Just say no. Do you want to? You want to know him? Say yes. We lead you in a sinner's prayer. Then comes, I want you to come to church with me. I want you to come to church with me. That's when you get around to asking people to church. Because there's a lot of people come to church that leave just the way they came. But if they get right with God and you bring them into church and you say, hey, this guy got saved. I know heaven stopped last week for him on Tuesday because he got saved on Tuesday at 9 o'clock. So we can rejoice with him. Then we plug him in. They may not like this church. Come on, somebody. They may not like it. Guess what? There's good churches all around this community. We can put them in good Bible, believing, teaching churches. That's okay. They're saved. Woo! Does this make any sense this morning whatsoever? If the church is going to come alive in 25, we got to know what our duty as a Christian is. We got to know what we've been empowered with.
We're ambassadors. We have a ministry of reconciliation that God has given. He's entrusted it to us. If we're going to come alive, the church as a whole, not just LVA church, but this church is where I pastor, but the church, Christians, if we're going to come alive in 25, we have got to do our job. We've got to perform the duty that God has entrusted to us. If you had a job, well, what if somebody comes to work for you and you say, here's the job duties, the details of the job, and then you're probably going to say, and whatever else I can come up with, right? But you may have a crane operator. His primary job is to operate a crane. Takes a little more than just somebody, I can do that. A little training goes on there, you know, because you got lives at stake, right? Working way above heavy, heavy things. You want the right person operating the crane. Because why? Lives are at stake. Money can be lost. Things can be damaged. And God said to you, I'll entrust you because lives are at stake. Just like you would with that guy after training. God said, I'll train you. I'll give you a new creation. All that old stuff will pass away. I can put it in you right now. When you get saved, you got a ministry of reconciliation. When you get saved right now, you don't need any further training. You need right now, the gospel has been entrusted to you. Oh, you may have to get some training to be a preacher and all that stuff. But guess what? Your greatest ministry tool, your greatest witnessing tool is you. What did God do for you? What did he do for you? Well, let me tell you about where I was. Oh, not to glory in that, but to say this is where I was and this is where I am now. You're more passionate about you than anybody else. You like you more than anybody else. Come on, you do. You like you more than anybody. You're more excited about you than anybody else. Come on. And when you tell people what God's done for you, you get excited about it. You should. You should be excited. You're more passionate about you talking about you than I am talking about you. Your duty as a Christian. Let's read it again. To be the primary factor for sinners to be converted to saints. To be the primary factor in sinners being converted to saints. You've been equipped. Will you stand with me across this building? Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that you have challenged us in this message. Lord, you have challenged me. Lord, in whatever I'm doing, Lord, I should be in tune with spreading the gospel because I'm an ambassador. My ears need to be open to hear the lost, to know that they're lost. In order to perform the duties of reconciliation, Lord, help our ears to be open. Help our spirits, Lord, to be in tune with you. The system, Lord, that we have in place of reading our Bible and praying and seeking you and Lord, getting our hearts prepared right, Lord, so that when we do step into the marketplace, we can easily discern. We can easily discern the sinner from the saint. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this house. Lord, I'm believing for souls to be saved, to come to Christ, to be discipled, to make workers, to be servants, Lord, of the Most High King. Because you have simply entrusted this gospel to this church, to the church body as a whole. Lord, let it start with us. Let us be passionate, Lord, about winning lost people to you. Father, I thank you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not going to ask you to come forward this morning because the whole altar should be full when I give this altar call. But I want you to stay where you are. Pastor, would you pray for me that I may perform the duties of a Christian? Just slip up your hand and write back down. Yes, 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 yes. All over this place. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the right word today. I bless your name. I glorify your name. Lord, may you get glory, Lord, from the benefits of this message as people win souls, as they perform the duties of a Christian. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we leave this place today, I pray that your face would shine upon us, that we would find favor with God and with man, that prosperity, job promotion, increase, raises would come our way, and Lord, that peace would rest over every rooftop. Just blanket that roof. That when we lay down this afternoon or tonight, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Now go win somebody to the Lord.